Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 8th, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're at verse 12. 1 John 3:12. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, this paragraph actually began in halfway through verse 10. 1 John 3, 10b. It starts out, anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, who does not advance to spiritual maturity, attain grace righteousness, and then manifest sacred honor, integrity, virtue, then he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Verse 11. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning. And the beginning that John is referring to is the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this again and again and again and again as the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then the second is to love one another with impersonal love. That is the ultimate objective of living this unique spiritual life that God has given to us. Now, that brought us to verse 12. And in verse 12, we have the importance of why impersonal love is so critical. 1 John 3, verse 12 tells us that there is a very close relationship between the violence of murder and the violence in the soul of hating others. Verse 12 says, Absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, that is Satan, and he violently murdered his brother, Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his works, Cain's works in production, kept on being evil, human good and evil, worthless, degenerate. He's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever living in the cosmic system, and he functions under the policy of the cosmic system, human good and evil. For what reason did he murder him? Because his own works, Cain's works in production, kept on being evil, human good and evil, worthless, degenerate. But the works or production of his brother, Abel, were righteous, grace, righteous production of not only a believer, but a spiritually mature believer. Abel was a spiritually mature believer, not just a one who had placed his faith in Christ and then, fell off the cliff, crashed and burned under the sin unto death. No, he was a spiritually mature believer, a grace righteous believer, and he has the honor of being included in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the heroes. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the heroes in the Old Testament scriptures. Abel is one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Why? Because he not only believed in Jesus Christ, that just is the beginning. Then he advanced to spiritual maturity. He, all the way to grace righteousness, and had phenomenal grace righteous production in his life. And he is honored in the Word of God. Now, a couple of things then about 1 John 3, verse 12. One, your attitude toward Jesus Christ, attitude toward Jesus Christ, attitude toward the cross, divides the entire world, all mankind, into two categories. When God looks at man, he only sees two categories. He only sees believers and unbelievers. God looks at the whole human race all throughout human history, and he only sees two categories. The believer, the one who places his faith in Jesus Christ, and the unbeliever, the one who rejects the grace gospel and does not believe in Jesus Christ. So point one is attitude toward the cross, attitude toward the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, divide mankind into two categories. So we can do it this way. Here is the cross, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are on this side, all unbelievers. They either totally reject Christ, hate Christ, don't want to have anything to do with him, or they add Jesus Christ to a false gospel of works, of faith in Christ plus works, which is no salvation at all. And that's really works. That's what Cain was in. Cain had all kinds of human good and evil. All kinds of human good and evil. And a lot of productions. Cain is the first one, the forerunner for all religions in the world. And so here are unbelievers. They have not responded to the grace gospel of faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The other category are the believers. The whole human race God looks at mankind and he sees two categories, unbeliever and believer, two. Adam and the woman's first two sons represent both categories. Adam and the woman's first two sons represent both categories. Cain was an unbeliever. Abel was a believer. So Adam and the woman's, Isha was her name. She later became known as Eve. But Adam and Isha, and by the way, I think Isha is one of the most beautiful Hebrew names for the female, Isha. Now, that's Hebrew and beautiful. Now, Greek, the woman in Greek is called Guni. I don't see anything great about that. And none of the ladies do either. What do you want to be called, Guni? Or Isha, of course. If you say Guni, see me afterwards. So Adam and Isha's first two sons represent both categories. Cain was an unbeliever. Abel was a believer. Turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the whole universe and everything in the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of man. He created the first man. He created the body of the man from the ground. Adam. And Adam, his name is Adam, but the word Adama is the word soil or dirt. So if your name is Adam, your name is dirt. You probably like that as much as Guni, see? He created the body first, but he wasn't a living soul. Then he breathed after the body was formed. After the body was completely formed. There was no human being there yet. Then he breathed into his nostrils, Neshama. The spark of life. The body first, and then neshama, the spark of life. Now, that's what still goes on. And there's a lot of people out there that think in the womb there is a living soul in the womb. That's not true. What you have in the womb is biological life. Reflex motility. You say, but it moves, it kicks, it kicks. In a second. I'll get excited here. Reflex motility. Biological life. And then, just like Jesus Christ did, made the body first, no human being, no living soul. After the body was completed, then he breathed into his nostrils, neshama, the spark of life. Now, same thing happens now. Biological life is formed in the womb, then at birth, Jesus Christ breathes in neshama, spark of life. And you'll know it because this fetus comes out of the womb and then wah! Inhale, exhale, breathing, and there's a living soul right then. As soon as that inhale, exhale, and you hear that wah! Now we have a living soul. And I know that is not where there's a lot of Christians that get all emotional about this, that you're committing murder with abortion. You're not committing murder with abortion. There is no human living soul in the womb. Now, does that mean abortion is something that should go on and should be right? No. Because that fetus, embryo, fetus, when it is born, comes out, at that point it becomes a living soul, neshama. So you're interfering in what has happened, what God is doing, preparing the body, and then at birth, imputing human life to the soul. And now it's a living soul. And therefore, no, I don't promote, I'm not in favor of abortion at all. But there's no human being living there in it while it's still in the womb. It's when it's born. First the body is made, and then the spark of life is given at birth. So Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to Cain. And she said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a male child." Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil, the vegetables that he had been growing, as an offering to the Lord. Now, this is all religion. He's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever. He doesn't see the fact that he's a sinner. He doesn't see the fact that he needs a Savior. He doesn't see the need for a sacrifice. And the like Abel had flocks. Abel had sheep. Abel recognized he was a sinner, recognized he needed a Savior, and recognized that this atonement, this blood atonement, unlimited atonement, was accomplished and pictured by shadow Christology, that this is what Christ the Messiah, the Redeemer, was going to do for him. And he believed in Jesus Christ, and he grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and his offerings were honorable. They were the result of spiritual maturity. He advanced to maturity. He had these fantastic offerings that honored the Lord Jesus Christ. But not Cain. Cain's an unbeliever. He's full of religion. He doesn't see that he's a sinner and that he needs a Savior. He brings vegetables as a part of his religion. Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Human good and evil. That was Cain. Human good and evil. Satanic policy. He's in the cosmic system and he thinks just like the policy of Satan himself. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" He's full of mental attitude sins. He hates God. He's in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of hatred. He hates God. He hates his brother who's a believer. God accepts his offerings. He hates his brother. He's in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of hatred. He's thinking just like the ruler of this world who created the cosmic system. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" What is right? Believe in Jesus Christ. Recognize he is a sinner. Recognize that he needs a Savior. And believe in Jesus Christ. But no, he doesn't. He is under, well, the first false gospel of works. Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, believe in Jesus Christ, you will you not be accepted? Yes, you will. But if you do not do what is right, continue to not believe in Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, then sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, he's now not only angry and mad at God, hate the mental attitude sin of hatred toward God, he hates his brother who is a believer. God has accepted all of his offering. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and murdered him. He murdered him. First murder in human history. Cain, an unbeliever, murdered his brother Abel. 3. Cain was an unbeliever living in Satan's cosmic system. His offerings were evil. Human good and evil. They were totally worthless. Just like religion. All the religions of the world are worthless. Cain was an unbeliever living in Satan's cosmic system. His offerings were worthless. Human good and evil. That's 1 John 3 verse 12, our verse. 4. Cain is the father of all false religion. Man trying to come to God in his own way. Human good and evil. Worthless, degenerate production. Cain is the father of all false religion. Man trying to come to God in his own way. Human good and evil. Worthless, degenerate production. 5. Cain's religion was destitute of any sense of being a sinner and destitute of any need of a Savior. Cain's religion was destitute of any sense of being a sinner and nor any need of needing a Savior. Six, the scriptures declare that Cain is very self-centered and arrogant. That's a part of Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. This is exactly how he operates. He operates under interlocking systems of arrogance. He is very self-centered and arrogant. He has a man-centered religion. A man-centered religion, but no personal relationship with the Messiah, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He is full of mental attitude sins of anger and hatred. He hates God. That's the other part of Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of hatred. He's angry with God and he hates God. He refuses to bring a sin offering, a blood offering. He murders his brother, and that again demonstrated that he is carrying out the policy of the ruler of this world, Satan. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And from that interlocking systems of hatred, he is motivated to murder his own brother, Abel. And he lies to God, and that's because he's a disciple of the devil. The devil is not only a murderer from the beginning, he is a liar and the father of all lies. And Cain lies to God, and he becomes a wanderer. So the scripture declares Cain is arrogant, self-centered, interlocking systems of arrogance. He has a man-centered religion, but no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is angry with God and hates God, interlocking systems of hatred. He refuses to bring a sin offering. He murders his own brother as a result of the mental attitude sin of hatred and anger, interlocking systems of hatred. He lies to God. He's a disciple of the devil. And he becomes a wanderer. 7. On the other hand, Abel is a believer. He has placed his faith in the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. On the other hand, Abel is a believer. He has placed his faith in the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Eight. Abel's sacrifice, in which atoning blood was shed, Abel's offering, his sacrifice in which atoning blood was shed, was his admission that he was a sinner and his expression of faith in the Savior, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Substitutionary atonement. Abel understood it. Abel's offering or sacrifice in which atoning blood was shed was his admission that he was a sinner and his expression of faith in the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He totally believed and understood substitutionary atonement. 9. Abel not only believed in the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as his Savior, but he also advanced to spiritual maturity and had maximum grace, righteous production in his life. Abel not only believed in the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as his Savior, but he also advanced to spiritual maturity and had maximum grace, righteous production in his life. And that's presented in our verse 12. Absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his, Cain's production kept on being evil, human good and evil, worthless, degenerate. But the works and production offerings of his brother Abel were righteous, grace, righteous production. Now this is seen powerfully in Hebrews chapter 11. So turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We have a list of the heroes, Old Testament heroes, in Hebrews chapter 11. If you're listed in Hebrews chapter 11, you're not only a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a spiritually mature believer. You're a grace-righteous believer. You've advanced to maturity and glorified God to the maximum. So all of these heroes in Hebrews chapter 11 are not just believers, but winner believers. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, who's listed in the list of heroes of the Old Testament? Abel. And every time here, it says, it always starts out with these heroes, by faith. And that is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And pistis, sometimes it refers to faithfulness. That's one of the meaning of pistis, faithfulness. Second, it's used for the act of faith, faith in believing, or faith of the faith rest life. And third, it's used for the body of faith, or that which is believed, which is the Word of God. And all the way through Hebrews chapter 11, it always starts out by faith, by faith, by faith. That is, by the body of faith, metabolized doctrine, the Word of God, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of all of these heroes of the Old Testament. So this is by pistis, by the body of faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of all of these heroes. So it starts out by faith, by maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of Abel. That's how, why he offered sacrifices that offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. He was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. He wasn't saved when these offerings were presented. This is after he's gone and not only believed in Christ, but advanced all the way to spiritual maturity. And God commends him as a grace-righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. Well, he died, he was absent from the body, and now he is face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain is in torments and will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So here, Hebrews, when you're in the Hebrews chapter 11, you're a winner believer, not just a believer. You're a winner believer. And everyone, you should know this. If you've been here, you should have learned all this. By faith. This is not talking about salvation. This is not faith, the act of faith. This is the body of faith all the way through here. The body of faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of the winner believer. 10. The nature of arrogant, rebellious man unfolds in the unbeliever Cain. The nature of arrogant, rebellious man unfolds in the unbeliever Cain. 11. However, the humble man who recognizes that he is a sinner and needs a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is revealed in Abel. However, the humble man who recognizes that he is a sinner and needs a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is revealed in Abel. So again, verse 12, absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan. He was a disciple of the devil, living in the cosmic system, totally bought Satan's policy of human good and evil, totally influenced by it and lived his life by it. And he violently murdered his brother Abel. Interlocking systems of arrogance connected with interlocking systems of hatred. And he murdered his own brother Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his production kept on being human good and evil, worthless. But the production of his brother Abel were grace righteous production. All right. Well, we need to, believe me, we need to study the doctrine of murder. And you hear me say from this pulpit again and again and again, especially when I first came here 45 years ago, it never entered my mind. It never entered my mind that this nation would fall into such horrible degeneracy and apostasy. Never entered my mind. I thought it will never happen in my lifetime. I don't believe that anymore. I am appalled by the apostasy and degeneracy of our nation. We're in apostasy. Most of the people in this nation are living their life in Satan's cosmic system. Most of the people, and I'm not talking just about unbelievers, I'm talking about most believers. Unbelievers and believers. Most of the people in this nation are living in Satan's cosmic system. And therefore they are influenced by the teachers. And there are unbeliever teachers living in the cosmic system. There are believer teachers living in the cosmic system. And they listen to them. They believe what they have to say. And they follow them. And we're watching that happen all throughout our nation. Murder is a crime, a capital crime, that God says, you commit murder, you should be put to death, capital punishment. That's the word of God. That's absolute. You commit murder, you should be put to death, capital punishment. We almost put nobody to death with capital punishment. And their murder has gone up in this country greater than ever before in its history. All over this nation, murder has gone up. Crime has gone up. Especially you get into blue states. California is horrible. Oregon's terrible. Washington's horrible. New York, absolutely horrible. Chicago, oh, it's the pits. And what are in all these blue states? What is being done? What's the attack? Defund the police. Defund the police. Get rid of the police. Get rid of law enforcement. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? The cosmic system. The cosmic system. Who is the one who invented the cosmic system? Satan. And Satan attacks God and the Word of God. What is law enforcement and the military? The laws of divine establishment. Absolute truth. The laws of divine establishment. This is absolute truth of the Word of God. Law enforcement is a part of the laws of divine establishment. And every time you hear someone say, defund the police, well, they're living in the cosmic system and they're listening to the teachers who are living in the cosmic system. And many of those are not just unbelievers, Many of those are believers living in the cosmic system. And this attack on the law enforcement, it's absolute truth. The laws of divine establishment. Law enforcement people should be given, recognized as heroes. All over this land, law enforcement people should be recognized as heroes. Whatever they're getting paid, it's not enough. Whatever people in the military are being paid, it's not enough. The military protects our nation from enemies on outside. Law enforcement protects our nation from enemies on the inside. But now, the inmates are running the asylum. That's what's happening in America. The inmates are running the asylum. And every time I see that and hear that, the greatest heroes we have in this country are law enforcement. They ought to be recognized. They should be given awards. They should be treated as heroes. But now we have a nation listening to the teachers who live in the cosmic system. And why do they listen to them? Because they're living in the cosmic system. That's one thing. These false teachers are living in the cosmic system. And why do the rest of the people, believers and unbelievers, believe them? Because they're living in the cosmic system too. And it makes sense. It makes sense because they're living in the cosmic system as well. And so they listen. They believe it, and they follow it, and say, yeah, this is what we need to do. So this is a very important doctrine, the doctrine of murder. Murder is up greater in our nation than ever before in its history. And that is a guarantee that we are approaching the fifth cycle of national discipline. Right there. And we'll go to the passages and show you. That is a guarantee we're on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Murder is at an all-time high. And the people that commit the murder, no big deal. Let them out. See, now the liberals, they want to take the people in prison and let half of them out of the prison. Let half of the people out of the prison. Let them back out. That's liberalism. That's socialism. All right, the doctrine of murder then. You would think that if this would be a slam dunk, but not in the times in which we are living. So point one, definition and description. Definition and description. Subpoint one. Murder is the unlawful killing of another human being. Murder is the unlawful killing of another human being. Well, here we have it. We have it right here in Las Vegas. This journalist, this reporter in Las Vegas was murdered. And he was murdered by a liberal Democrat who was working in a high office in this city. Murdered right here in Las Vegas. Murder is the unlawful killing of another human being with malice aforethought, expressed or implied by the motivation of arrogance inside the cosmic system. Murder is the unlawful killing of another human being with malice aforethought, expressed or implied by the motivation of arrogance inside the cosmic system. Two, the motivation comes from mental attitude sins. Mental attitude sins such as anger and hatred. And we're an angry society. America is now an angry society. A hatred society. Full of mental attitude sins of hatred and anger. It comes from self-righteous arrogance. Conspiracy arrogance. Criminal arrogance. Political arrogance. Crusader arrogance. The arrogance of ignorance. The arrogance of unhappiness. So it comes from self-righteous arrogance, conspiracy arrogance, criminal arrogance, political arrogance, crusader arrogance, the arrogance of ignorance, the arrogance of unhappiness. Subpoint three. Murder is both a sin and a crime related to living in Satan's cosmic system. Murder is both a sin and a crime related to living in Satan's cosmic system. And that's why we see murder all over America. It's because most Americans, not just unbelievers, but believers and unbelievers, are living in Satan's cosmic system. And it's often manifested in religion. All religions of the ancient world used human sacrifice. One of the major religions today, Islam. Islam is characterized by murder, terrorism, honor killings, suicide bombers, beheadings, jihad. Islam is characterized by murder. And murder is not only a crime, a sin of living in Satan's cosmic system, but it's often manifested in religion. Subpoint four. Murder is a major attack on freedom. A major attack on freedom and self-determination as an issue in the angelic conflict. Murder is a major attack on freedom and self-determination as an issue in the angelic conflict. Subpoint five, murder is the invention of Satan. Murder is the invention of Satan, and he is the motivator of murder. Murder is the invention of Satan, and he is the motivator of murder. 1 John 3:12, our verse, absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated. Motivated by who? By the evil one, Satan. And he violently murdered his brother Abel. And then turn over to John, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll start at verse 37. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And in John 8, verse 37, he says, I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you are ready to murder me, because you have no room for my word. They They don't want to hear what Jesus Christ has to teach. They don't want to hear the absolute truth from the living and true God. You're ready to murder me because you have no room for my word. And I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. But you do what you have heard from your father. Now, he hasn't told them yet who their father is, but he's going to. Their father is the devil. Their father is the devil. When you're living in Satan's cosmic system, guess who your father is? The devil. And then they answered, Abraham is our father, they answered. Ha! No, Abraham's not your father, because Abraham was not only a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the greatest believers of all time. And you hate Jesus Christ. You're not. Abraham is not your father. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. However, as it is, you are determined to murder me, a man who has told you the truth. That, obviously, Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the truth. A man who has told you are determined to murder me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, from the Father. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things of that your own father does. And he still hasn't told them who it is, but their father is the devil. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. Now they go, the only father we have is God himself. Oh boy. So then Jesus said to them, okay, I'm just waiting for you to open your big fat mouth. Now I'll tell you exactly. If God were your father, then you would love me. They want to murder Christ. If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he, the Father, sent me under Operation Grace. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say, negative volition. You belong to your father. Now he tells them who their father is. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. The Lord Jesus Christ holds Bible class. He didn't pull any punches. He hit him right between the eyes. Murder is Satan's genius to invent a system to attack freedom and self-determination. Subpoint six. All killing is not murder. All killing is not murder. Putting certain people to death is demanded by God in certain occasions. For example, capital punishment for a capital crime is not murder. It's demanded by God. Capital punishment for a capital crime is not murder. It's demanded by God. And capital punishment is a part of the laws of divine establishment. Establishment truth. And establishment truth is for the whole world, believers and unbelievers alike. Turn over to Romans 13. Great passage. I can't wait to get there. We'll get there. Great passage. On laws of divine establishment. Establishment truth. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is, this is establishment. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. By the way, the authorities we have right now is exactly what we deserve. Exactly what we did. We have what we deserve in America. We're a nation in apostasy. So God says, all right, you're going through the five cycles of national discipline, and this will get you there very, very quickly. The governing authorities that you have now. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do evil. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do evil, then be afraid, for he does not bear the sword, capital punishment, for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. And then turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whosoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, capital punishment. Whoever commits the crime of murder, by man, governing authorities, his blood will be shed, capital punishment. Why? For in the image of God has God made man. This is a mandate from God. This is establishment truth. This is laws of divine establishment. We got capital crime being committed all over our nation. Crime is at an all-time high. Murder's at an all-time high. And God has commanded that those who commit capital crime should be executed. Even animals that kill people, as well as humans that kill people, the animals are to be executed. We are responsible for any decision we make to murder someone else. Again, Genesis 9:6. Whoever shed man's blood, murder, by man, governing authorities, his blood shall be shed, capital punishment. Man has the right to slaughter animals for food, Genesis 9, 3 and 4, but this does not give man the right to slaughter people. Capital punishment must be the result, however, of due process of law. Capital punishment must be the result of due process of law. Turn over to Numbers. Numbers 35. Numbers 35, verse 30. Numbers 35, verse 30, if anyone kills a person, murder, the murderer shall be put to death at the, now listen, at the evidence of witnesses, plural. Witnesses, plural. The murderer shall be put to death at the evidence of witnesses, plural. It could be two or more, but it has to be plural. It could be 10, it could be 20, it could be 30. But no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. So there must be at least two witnesses. There can be many more. Homicide is first degree murder and must be punished by death. Turn over to Leviticus. Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24, verse 17. And if a man takes the life of any human being, murder, he shall surely be put to death, capital punishment. The word God is absolutely clear. And this protects a client nation to God. We are a client nation to God right now, but we're a client nation to God in the fourth cycle of discipline and approaching the fifth cycle of discipline. We're like the northern kingdom in 721 B.C., when Sargon II was brought down by God and destroyed the northern kingdom in 721 B.C. We're like Judah, 586 B.C., when God brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans in and destroyed the southern kingdom and administered the five cycle of discipline. In the time of Joel, which we're studying, the southern kingdom was in the fourth cycle of discipline and a great economic disaster. And with the policies that are in place now, the human good and evil in our nation right now, the policy being made, economic disaster is a slam dunk. Well, that is, all killing is not murder. Capital punishment for a capital crime is not murder, and we've seen the passages. There are other times of legitimate killing that's not murder, and we're going to start with that next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.